when you whine, you just go...
Yeah.
Like, stick your nose in it.
Then you act like you know something about it, and you go, oh, is this a...
Okay, it's a finish. Is that an early grape, or is it a late grape?
This looks like a mid-year.
Okay, so I have to drive to Louisville to find out how I drink things, and then drive back, and then I can talk to you about it.
Yeah, and maybe lose the collar and shirt, you uppity a-hole. I didn't wear a hat.
Isn't that the thing there, the big
that
floppy hat?
For the Derby. Spent some time, laughed at the graves of some horses there.
Give an old 21-gun salute.
Yeah,
middle. Lined up 21 horses.
I'll tell you where it is. Louisville, Kentucky. You idiot Eastern Seaboarder. You Midwestern buffoon.
Am I just...
You big dumb ogre.
Still recovering from that beatdown. I don't know what caused that, where that came from. I don't think I ever said a bad thing about bourbon in my life.
Hey, yeah, I had to climb up on the pedestal and make sure you knew where you were.
Right.
As the Canadian whiskey drinking scum of this podcast.
I nearly sent you a picture of a glass of Canadian whiskey I was drinking last night. I haven't had it.
You might as well have sent me a picture of puddle water that you were licking like a rabid raccoon who hadn't had sustenance in days, Steve.
Like a picture of me just slapping your loved ones in the face, because that's essentially what it was doing. It was funny. I was at, may as well jump right into some discussion here. I had my yearly physical yesterday.
You're what now, Steve? 36?
39.
39, almost nailed it. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Can't be said enough. Just three months after my birthday. 3 years and 3 months after my 36th birthday.
You're welcome.
So I was at the...
You're coming up on the big ones.
Yeah. So that's part of what... I was late getting my... getting my physical this year by like 8 months, because I had gotten a physical in January of 19, and then I had to go to the doctor for something last December. So I said to them, when I called them to make an appointment, I was like, hey, I know I'm just about due for a physical. Can I just get my physical when I'm there? Two birds with one stone. And they said, yeah, no problem. So I go there last December, and they were going to do the physical. And then the nurse came in. She's like, oh, well, technically, you already had a physical in this calendar year.
Oh, goody.
So your insurance company won't approve it. I'm like, that's why I called. I could have waited another 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But I think it was when I was on vacation, so I had the time. I was like, why not do it now? And so then, of course, I was like, oh, I'll just schedule it again. Never did. So... a month ago, I was like, you know, I should actually get my physical this year. So I got my physical and a clean bill of health once again.
Oh, we're happy to hear it.
Well,
Steve.
I guess I don't really know. I haven't got, if they want me to get like blood work and all that. So I could be dying.
So he looked at you and said, you're alive.
He looked at me. Yeah. They did the ear test. I raised my hand 5 times to say, yeah, I hear the beep. I hear the tone.
Wow, boy. It sounds like you really got the once over.
Yeah. I'm a little disappointed, though. They didn't take out the little rubber hammer and tap my kneecap to see if I still have reflexes.
What type of crappy non-physical is this? The knee check is paramount to the physical.
What about, is it more paramount to the, all right, breathe in, breathe out. All right, move the stethoscope to a different part. Breathe in, breathe out. Okay, oh, you sound like a well-oiled machine there.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that is, I think, are they looking for like heart murmurs there, I believe?
I don't know, maybe the fluid in the lungs or something. Don't know. No idea. Hmm. I trust that my medical professional knows what he's doing.
I don't know if you heard it, but doctors are the enemy now, so you should be skeptical.
You know something? I took a stand yesterday at the doctor, and I felt pretty good about it.
Okay. Hang on. So we got Defiant Steve minutes away from tugging down his shorts and coughing, and we got a Defiant Steve in the doctor's office?
This is one that everybody will be able to, everyone will stand up and cheer at this one. Because, you know, the monotonous task of when you get to the doctor and they do the, now it's a little bit different now. You pull up out front, you wait in your car, they come out, do the,
the temperature checking you. Yeah.
And a, like a verbal checklist. Have you been around anybody with this? Have you had any cough and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Because of COVID. So the woman came out to my car. She did all of that and then handed me the dreaded clipboard where you have to enter a lifetime's worth of medical information, which
purely absurd.
I am so angry that in the year 2020, she's not handing me an iPad so I can do, 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 do. And then it's in the system. No, no, no. I'm getting the piece of paper on a clipboard, that piece of paper, which is no doubt a photocopy of a photocopy of a photocopy of a photocopy of a photocopy, because the type is all fuzzy. Like it's a little bit askew. Have like the corners are kind of cut off because whoever put it on the machine on the copier didn't line it up quite right. So everything annoys me about that. So I started, I put my name on the top of the paper, and then she ended up having to walk back out to say like, oh, one more thing. I'll come out and get you when we're ready. So I said to her, I was like, hold on a second. This paper, nothing on this has changed since last year. Like absolutely nothing, nothing at all. My medical history, like the seizure that I had in 1996
still was 1996. Still
1996.
Instead of 23 years ago, it's now 24 years ago. Okay.
Yeah. So, do I have to do all of this? Mm-hmm. And she kind of looked at me and she's like, no, just sign the bottom. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Like it was that easy.
There's so many of these documents and a lot of them are like the family history ones are what frustrate me.
Right.
My family history didn't change.
No.
My mom's father still passed away at age 36 of a heart attack.
Right.
My dad's dad, yeah,
whoa.
1961.
Whoa.
My dad's dad had heart disease runs in our family.
Yeah.
High blood pressure. Like, that is still there. Mm-hmm. My dad didn't, you know.
And you know this.
Yes.
Because you have this paper.
Yeah, you're my doctor. This should be in a system somewhere.
Right.
Like, my dad didn't wait until age 61 and decide to kick the blood pressure issue.
Right.
You know?
To me, it's maddening because my doctor's office, when you walk in there, it reminds me of any doctor's office I've ever been in.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of dimly lit. The walls are that like tan color.
Fluorescent lights.
Yeah.
Why is that?
There's the counter with the glass shield.
Yep. Do they have to slide the door
open? They got
to
slide. So when you walk in, they ignore you.
Absolutely.
Until I'm like doing jumping jacks in front of the window.
Yeah.
And then behind the people sitting at the desk, because there's probably three or four of them in that, you know, in like the little room.
The station or whatever. Yeah.
There are just floor to ceiling, those bookshelves with like the cranks on them so they can slide them back and forth out of the way so they can shimmy in between them to find the reports and the records. And it blows my mind that that is not all. When I walk in, I give my name, they type it into a computer, and they say, okay, anything to add to your medical history? Is your insurance still the same? Nope. Yep. All right. You're good to go.
Yeah.
Have a seat. Why are those charts there? Can someone explain to me why there are physical copies there?
You know what? Here's what I would understand. I would understand, like, 2 pages per patient or whatever of the major medical issues in case there happens to be an outage of some sorts and they can't access it.
Yeah, maybe just a rundown of what was gone over the last time you were there.
Right. But I can promise you what you're not going to need. If you're mid-appointment and the power goes out, you're not going to need to know that Lucy in 1988 came in for a sniffle.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That we could probably get rid of that paperwork or digitize it and shred it. I question this because my eye doctor is saying I have to, whenever I call to either schedule an appointment or whatever, it's, oh, yeah, let me go pull your chart. I was like, oh, my God. So they're going back into the stacks.
Right.
Like you described.
What do you mean, pull my chart?
Yeah.
Type in my name.
Yeah. My eyeballs are still there. I need to schedule an appointment. You don't need my chart. So the one place, and as much as people would, I mean, my dentist still has the stacks, right? Mm-hmm. And I think all medical offices do. But at least the bare minimum, the only thing they ask me when I go in there is, anything different with your teeth this year?
I don't know. I guess you'll tell me, because you're the teeth expert.
Like, well, I chomped on foil the other day and it did hurt.
Right.
But like, that's so much better for me than doing the, do you have any issue, have any history of lung collapsing?
Seems like it says here that your B7 bicuspid had a hairline crack last time. Is that still there?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Is that next to the big one in the back or the yeah. little one in the back?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Actually, now that I think about it, I've had two instances of defiance, of medical defiance in the last 2 weeks.
Hang on. So are you a new man now? Are you just
a little
like,
bit.
Are you thumbing your nose at the medical profession?
No. Especially, I want that to be abundantly clear at this time, that I'm not thumbing my nose at the medical profession, because I believe that the medical profession, in doing what they do, in giving medical procedures and help and advice, perfect. Organizationally, they're a nightmare.
Yeah.
They're garbage.
Yeah.
They should all be fired, and a bunch of nerds should be brought in to digitize everything.
Well, people like you and I should be hired for that. Because we've talked about this before, that you and I, we don't accept a messy home.
Yeah, we like our organ. Like, you have your app for your comic books,
yep,
so you can
yeah.
so you can scroll through. Like, I like everything. I like spreadsheets.
Yeah,
I like order.
Yeah,
I like I love being able to enter the formulas, so I know like, oh, cell B4 and G8.
Yeah.
Added together, the average sum is blah blah blah.
Yeah, I've got my bookshelf alphabetized, my okay. movies alphabetized.
All right.
Like, so you and I need to break into the medical field, and but no, here's what we need, because I don't want to do the actual work. We need to do like,
I need to
a medical office version of Scared Straight. So you and I walk in.
Oh no,
and we
no,
just
no.
start whipping
no,
files
not,
across
not
the
Scared
room.
Straight. It's got to be like
Bar Rescue.
Yeah, with John Taffer.
Yeah, so. But there's two of us, so one of us needs to be good cop, bad cop, and then that's going to intermittently change.
Well, I think we know that you're the bad cop.
No, but we need to change with no warning. So okay. one episode, I'm walking out, I'm going, hey, guys, like, look at all of this paper waste. And then you come in, you push down a stack of them. Go, this is unacceptable!
Just walk up and clock somebody in the head.
Do you see what an earthquake could do? And then I put my arm in front of your chest, go, Steve. It's okay.
And then you say, sorry, he gets passionate.
Yeah. And I say,
he lost his whole family in an earthquake because they were crushed by medical records.
San Diego was 32 years ago, Steve. And then the next week, I walk in and I kick the pencil drawer on top of a desk and say, are you trying to kill everybody in this office? And yeah. So, yeah, we need to go in and get all of these medical offices on the new way to do things, which is...
right. Either that, or we just need to invent the process. Like, spend a couple $1,000s. We'll hire a nerd to invent a program that, like, I don't know, has a scanner built in. You just
yeah.
And then we sell it, and we make millions off of it.
I was going to say, it seems like it has
because
been invented.
That way, we don't really do any of the work.
Just our names are attached.
We're just, it'll be the Dialbot 5000 or something.
And then in like 5 years, someone unveils like my tweets about horses. I'm forced to divest myself of the company.
No, that's the thing. We're selling outright. We're getting out. We're getting the cash.
But,
and then we're just retiring.
But we need to wait for someone like Google or Facebook
no.
or Amazon
no.
or TikTok or whoever.
Look, if we get more than 5 million, sell. Sell immediately.
5 million? I was thinking six figures. Six figures each. That gives you a couple Jeeps?
Yeah.
That gives me...
okay.
Now, you know what? I think you're right.
Look, 5 million, $2.5 million a piece.
Yeah.
After taxes, of course.
Yeah.
That's enough for me. I don't need any more.
Seven figures and we can retire.
I don't need any more than that.
Okay, so now we just need to con some loser nerd into doing
the
work.
We'll go to the local community college, find a tech kid.
Yeah, but we need to, I think the key is, and it's really important that we give away all our good ideas.
By the way, verbal trademark.
Absolutely. Steer clear, all of you, okay? You're too late to the party. You're talking to the idea men here. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have some of the greatest ideas and none of the ability to get it done that you will find. Unless your idea happens to be about a Jeep or a comic book. And then we could come up with the idea and probably complete it.
Right.
But we need to figure out a way, Steve, to get these records so that they can still access them offline. So just in case, that for whatever reason, the doctor needs to know, hey, in 1993, little Lucy, came in with a cold.
No problem. We'll figure out a way.
What are they going to do with battery,
some kind
office?
Of battery? Some kind of battery backup. Server farm. Is that a term?
Yeah, there's some solar panel stuff in the world now too. I think we're going to be fine.
Yeah, just store all your medical records in your solar panels. You'll be good.
Shoot it up to the sun cloud, and then whenever you need it, you bring it down off the.
SunCloud.
Off the elevator.
Well, no, you have one person that's up in the cloud.
Yep.
With all of the records.
Yeah.
You need a record, they just tie a parachute to it, drop it down to you.
Yeah, it's like the, when you're doing hay or whatever in a barn, you throw it over, like the big bale goes over the top and they roll it away and I think that's how hay works.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
yeah, I can.
And baling.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean,
All of our experience.
All my hay baling experience.
Is that ever any... Did you ever have any, like...
Hay baling experience? No,
because, I mean, you and I weren't raised in rural areas.
No.
We were born in... But did you have any farm friends? Like, hey, they live a little bit out of town. Maybe not, like, you know, an hour, but they had property and a barn and some animals.
No. I mean, now I do. But, like, when I was growing up as a kid, I didn't know anyone who had, like, hey, come, you know, pet the goats or whatever.
Right. Because I didn't... Mm-hmm. That seems like a nice, easy... Like, hey, who's that, you know, other 11-year-old friend of yours that looks to be young and strong and wouldn't hate throwing hay for free? Like, I feel like that's the go-to. Like, yeah.
That's the one to get.
Hey, you want to come over? And you think you're going to go be petting goats and, you know, chasing the cows and whatever. And next thing you know, you've got... hay being thrown at you from the top of a barn.
Yeah. How did we get here?
Yeah. Well, anyway, we're going to revolutionize the medical field.
Yeah. Remember, Stylebot 5000 coming to a doctor near you.
Verbal trademark. Yeah. And it's coming to a doctor's office near you. You won't realize it unless one day you're going, did you guys do something with this room? And you realize that all of those shelves with records are now gone.
Yeah.
So, Steve, you had your age 39-year physical.
Uh-huh.
You went there yesterday, you thumbed your nose at the medical profession.
I did. I said, I will not fill this out again because you already know this.
But in fairness, she seemed to be, like, okay with it, right?
She did. It was like, I kind of felt like when I said that, she was like, oh no, the secret is out.
Well, they don't have to do this every year, but we have to feel like we give them paperwork every year. So what are we going to do if other people hear about this?
Yeah. So, yeah, I had the... turns out I'm getting a sleep study because, I snore quite a bit.
Okay. So is this okay? Now my mom has had some sleep studies over the years. I know how these are typically laid out. You've never had one, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. I would bet the odds of them saying at age 39, you need a CPAP are probably higher than it should be.
Yeah, maybe.
Is that something you're popping on at night?
If they give me one and it makes me sleep better and I wake up feeling more refreshed, absolutely.
No, I don't want to be crass, Steve, because it's not fair and that's not the game.
And it's not your way.
It's not the game we play on this podcast.
No.
But you're 39, married for coming up on 3 years, right?
Yep.
Coming up on 3 years. Mm. What do you think? You know, maybe a night you guys out for dinner, nice meal. Evelyn's, you know, either asleep or whatever. You guys had a lovely day. Mm-hmm. A few cocktails. Mm-hmm. You lay down in bed. Annette rolls over. Maybe puts her hand across your chest. Mm-hmm. And you jam that mask over your nose and mouth.
And say, sorry, dear.
And say, see
time
ya,
for
hun.
Bed.
What do you think that's going to do to a mood?
Oh, mood killer. Absolutely mood killer. But
nothing says romance like a rumbling tank of oxygen at the back.
Well, to be clear, I'm not on oxygen.
Wait, the CPAP's not pumping oxygen in?
But I don't have an oxygen tank. I'm not that old yet.
I guess I thought the CPAP, you put the mask on and then you opened up the oxygen tank.
Open the valve. No, I think it basically just forces air through your face so you breathe. So you breathe a little better.
Wow. And so in 2020, the CPAP is as close as we've gotten to helping that.
I think so, yeah. They have gotten, I know they've gotten smaller, they've gotten more efficient. So it's basically, I mean, it's like, it would be like the size of an alarm clock if you had it on your bedside table. Mm-hmm. And it's just got a couple hoses and a mask. So, yeah, I said to the doctor, I was like, man, my wife has been waking me up a lot lately, telling me, like, I mean, I'm not just snoring. She said it sounds like I'm choking. Like, I'm waking up, like, I'm dying. So,
like, is she nice about it, like giving you a shoulder, like, hey, hey, hey? Or is it more of a fist to the chest?
It's not the nicest.
Okay.
I don't blame her. It's, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, and she's a light sleeper. I'm a heavy sleeper. So, like, you can drop a pin and she'll wake up. Meanwhile, I'm sleeping through thunderstorms. Yeah. I'm sleeping through the baby crying.
You could have the tornado rip off the roof and you'd sleep right through it type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
No problem. So, I don't fault her at all. And it's, if I'm doing that, that means I'm not getting quality sleep.
Right.
So when she wakes me up, I roll over onto my side and I end up sleeping a lot better. So the doctor said, yeah, we'll get you a sleep study. So my experience hearing about this has been, you go to a place, you sleep there for the night, there's mm-hmm. doctors monitoring you. They wake you up a bunch of times. And, so that's what I thought. And he's like, nah, they don't. They're phasing that out. They started phasing that stuff out like 5 years ago. Now that you just, they'll call you, they'll put a box in the mail and send you this thing. It's super easy. You hook it up, you wear it for a couple nights, mm-hmm. box it back up, ship it back to them.
Really?
But then on the way out the door, the nurse said, she said, yeah, they may do that, or they may actually come to your house and set it up for you.
Oh no, that's unacceptable.
Yeah, I was like, I don't need that. No, just send me a box, send me a, you know, a one page instruction manual.
Yeah, I'll either go to the facility or I will do.
Oh, I don't want to go to the facility.
Yeah, or I'll do it myself. Those are the two options.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, so one option: send it to me.
Yep,
I'll do it. Plug hose A into port B, no problem. So that's going to be happening at some point in the next couple of weeks, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Get me a little bit of relief on that. But he did say, he's looking at my chart. How old are you? Let's see here. Okay, 39. Ooh. That means next year it's the big prostate exam.
So they're still doing that at 40,
doing
huh?
that at 40, yeah.
Wow, because I had thought that they started pushing that back and saying, you don't need that till 50 or 55.
Well, in my case, there is a somewhat of a history.
Okay.
So, in the family, so.
The American Cancer Society, Steve, recommendations for prostate cancers. Prostate cancer screening should take place at age 50 for men who are at average risk, 45 for men who are at high risk.
Mm. So, apparently, I am like thermonuclear risk.
Yeah, either that or Doc likes seeing some discomfort. Yes. You know?
Doc likes getting his rocks off.
There has to be a doctor out there who, and I'm not talking, you know, perverted wise, but who's like, they're having a bad day or whatever. And they're like, you know what? At least I get to really make so-and-so uncomfortable later today because they have to get a prostate exam.
I mean, look, you have to, even in the worst jobs, you have to find that bright spot, that thing that makes you get through the day. So, yeah, there's probably at least one out there.
Hey, here's some news. One of the Google autofills is, does a prostate exam feel good? long answer short, no.
Okay. No. All right.
Nope. Might take just a few minutes, and the part you're dreading...
Minutes?
The whole appointment might take minutes.
Okay.
The part you're dreading, probably less than 20 seconds. Probably... What's he looking for? A largemouth bass in there? We're not at the pond fishing. What the heck, man?
Okay. All right. Well,
we'll have to put that on the poll. Is a 20-second prostate exam too long?
Yeah. Please put that on the poll. By the way, the polls for the last week have not been working on Facebook. We've only been able to put them up. So if you if normally you vote on the polls at Facebook, go to @StevenKyle on Twitter. Cast your vote there. I don't even think you need a a Twitter account in order to vote on web polls.
So. Yeah, there's already a couple up there, including the newest one is a 20-second prostate exam too long.
Yes, yeah, definitively. If that's not look, if this is the one that is not 100%, oh,
like if they can tell that I don't have a hernia by grabbing my testicles for like a third of a second,
mm-hmm.
again. What's he searching for up there?
I don't know. And I still find it hard to believe that there's not some kind of x-ray or other technical equipment.
Yeah. If there's something more outdated than the prostate exam in terms of the medical profession, it's the CPAP machine. So it's good to see that you're on the forefront of both, right. both of the heights of medicine, Steve. Right.
Well, the fact that if you do have a hernia... They don't even, like, cut you open. It's just, like, they basically stick a tube in you. They run all their little, like, wires and things down through that tube. They sew you up, and then, boop, here you go. Here's a Band-Aid.
Well, but we're in a day and age where they're using lasers to fix eyeballs.
Yeah.
And they're using, you know, they can check blood flow, you know, near your groin from a tube through your mouth type of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, yet, nope, sorry, digit up the backside. This is the only way to do it.
It is Saturday, August 29th, 2020, the year of our Lord. It's the Steve and Kyle podcast, and you can mark this date on your calendars as the date that the Steve and Kyle podcast really dated themselves, talking about CPAPs and prostate exams.
How dare you? I've aged myself plenty. This is you.
Yeah.
You need to own this one.
Yeah, this one is me. This one's definitely me. But yeah, so other than that, the
everything else clean, the good bill of health.
Appointment was good. I like the doctor; he's a good man. He always, gives it to me straight.
Good.
And
are you the type of guy though? Because I can't stand these adults, right? Who it's, I got the doctor today. I hate the doctor.
No,
because you're not seven.
No, I mean, this time next year when I am. An hour away from going to the appointment for my prostate exam.
Then there'll be some nerves.
Then there will be a little, oh boy, I don't know about this. I'm not too sure. But normally I have no problem with going to the doctor. I'm just like, it's a yearly thing. I go there and typically good health. And the one thing I was happy to see when he was talking about the possibility of getting a CPAP or something mm-hmm. like that for the snoring, he said, well, you know, a lot of times it's based on weight gain. And then he looked at my chart and he's like, no, but you're actually down since the last time. I was hey, look at that. Old guy's been working out apparently.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, apparently
I've lost a couple pounds.
In fairness, I don't want to remove myself from the Aging Steve and Kyle podcast. 1 week ago, I was getting a chiropractor recommendation from
you.
I haven't yet. That is on. It is on the to-do list. It is happening.
Did I give you the name?
You did. Okay. Yeah, you texted it to me. So I'm going to reach out to them because that's kind of part way between here and work. So it would be kind of nice for me to, hey, I'm already kind of on the way.
The best thing about that place is... how quickly you are in and out. Like even before COVID, they were super efficient. Walk in, check in at the desk, sit down. Within 5 minutes, doctor comes out, brings you back. Hey, everything feeling the same? Or you have any other issues? No. Lay down, crack, crack, crack. Stand up. All right, see you later. You're in and out of there in 15 minutes max.
Wow. See, I thought you were about to say that they, like the chair does it. Like walk in, check in, sit down in the chair, have it cracked, and then you're out the door.
Yeah, all of a sudden these straps come over your arms, and you're like, what the hell? It's
like, hey, feel pretty good.
Now, the first appointment will be longer because they'll do x-rays.
Okay.
But they'll do x-rays, and then based off the x-rays, they'll probably give you your first adjustment there. So over the first few weeks, don't be surprised if you're there like three or four times.
Right, getting to know them pretty good. Yeah, it's on the list, man.
Yeah.
I think in a few weeks you're going to see me like doing the high jump.
Yeah. And now when you go in there, be sure to...
Drop your name?
Sure to drop my name.
Think you'll get like a little gift card in the mail?
No. No, absolutely not.
I'll do that though. Should I mention
that? I know Steve.
Maybe I'll mention, yeah, I heard about you on the Steve and Kyle podcast. And then they go, well, your name's Kyle. I said, yeah, it's just a coincidence. I just happened to listen. And then maybe they'll reach out and be like, hey, we should advertise.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'll definitely happen.
Somebody else actually sent me, I think they tweeted at me and said, hey, who's the chiropractor that you recommend?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you pass it off?
I did.
I should. Got to get that ad dollars first.
Well, I mean, look, doctor's name is not being revealed on this podcast.
Right.
Until the money starts flowing.
Yep. Not for free anyway. You know, I didn't want to get too far away from it, and I'm not going to bring what we normally do here on this podcast down. But have you thought about next year maybe doubling up because, you know, it'll all be kind of loosey-goosey back there after the finger anyway. You thought about going and getting a colonoscopy or
just like, yeah, just drop it in while you're back there, doc. As well.
Because I just looked at that.
That's 50, right?
That says 45 or earlier.
Really?
So according to that is the American Cancer Society.
Really?
Without any risk factors, start screening at that age. So they're saying at that age, 50 for the prostate. So they're way ahead of schedule. But you have high risk. But they said 45. And they're saying no risk for colon cancer or minimal risk at 45 as well. I'm just saying maybe you double dip. You knock them both out of the way.
Double dip, huh? That's a...
Yeah. That's a term.
No, I haven't given any thought to that yet.
Okay.
But we're 364 days away. So
but
the countdown begins. Maybe each week when we start the podcast and I say the date, I can say it's Saturday, August 29th, 2020, year of our Lord, Stephen Kyle podcast. T-minus 364 days until penetration.
Huh. And then we'll do that every week, you think, huh?
Every week. Yeah, every week. Next 52 weeks.
Exciting countdown. Then we're going to forget about it, and you'll just walk in uncomfortable and go, you okay?
Yeah. I'm fine.
It wasn't as simple as they made it seem. But I get this way, Steve, and I don't know if you're even remotely similar. Again, this podcast is done in a certain way that we typically don't delve into all of the news of the day. That's by choice and by the way we do this. But I mentioned the colonoscopy as we are mere hours removed from the announcement that Black Panther, Jackie Robinson at portrayal, actor Chadwick Boseman passed away a couple of days ago.
43
right? From colon cancer.
Oh.
So I don't know if you're like me. I always start thinking about it. And I'm like,
so once it's in your head.
Yeah. And then I'm like, well, that could be me. Like, I mean, it's the weird, like you read a book or you see a movie or read articles about, you know, people who have just a bunch of headaches. And the next thing you know, like, hey, you got a balloon in your brain. It's called a tumor.
Right.
And like, I always think, man, I've had a lot of headaches lately. And it makes me nervous.
So it starts getting to you. Like, yes. You don't just think about it like, maybe I should check that out. You actually think I have that.
Not necessarily that I have that, but it's a heightened concern for me. So I'm sitting here at 33 and no history of colon cancer in my family, but I always worry about these things that probably don't matter, but that, and this is a pretty extraordinary case in terms of age and stage that it was found and everything being in his 40s or no, found in his 30s, I should say.
Yeah. So 38 or 39.
Unbelievable.
Stage three.
Just horrifically sad to find that out. But it's always in the back of my mind. And
well, if you hold out for a year, maybe we can get like a 2-for-1.
You want? Yeah, maybe we call that massage place and maybe just have the doc sneak in.
Boop.
Go up with the camera. Again, and that goes along with the prostate exam too.
It's outdated. 2020. It's outdated. It's a bunch of pervert doctors that are holding on to that. Like, that's the one thing that they still got.
If they need to put a snake camera up my backside, What did they do 30 years ago? Was it like
they sawed you in half?
Was it the over-the-shoulder camera, and they just really like angled it in and tried to like, get a good look?
Like a cameraman that you see at the football game?
Or was it like two nurses doing like the peel?
Oh, God.
And the doctor just had a flashlight.
Nope. Oh, boy. Well, that concludes Medical Corner, this week's Steve and Kyle podcast.
Oh, man. Okay.
I gotta
Steve, I'm thrilled that you're healthy. Thank you. I eagerly await the outcome. The only reason I would have to wonder about the sleep thing here is obviously you have a young child. You have an infant in the house. And I don't, you know, you say you're a heavy sleeper, but still, you know, you never know. You wake up, she wakes you up in the middle of the night. You have to wake up to help Annette with whatever might need helping with. You know, is that a ding on the record, or do I carry my robot with me? Or do you have to like fill out a form the next day saying, hey, this wasn't a stopped breathing wake up. This was a my daughter was yelling wake
up. Yeah, I don't know. I guess the doctor did recommend that for those, he said it would be either 2 or 3 days or 2 or 3 nights that I would have to wear this apparatus.
Okay.
So he recommended, he's like, just sleep separately for those couple days.
Okay.
Because he said to me, sleep on your back, because that's when it's going to cause like an apnea or whatever.
Sure.
Is what I've been doing. Like, I'm more comfortable sleeping on my back. I'd rather sleep on my back. But because of this, I've like trained myself just to sleep on my side, and it's not as comfortable. And I wake up and like whatever side I've been sleeping on, if it's my right side, like my right shoulder and arm are just really sore for like the first couple hours of the day because all my weight was on that for the whole night.
Yeah.
So he's like, just sleep. Do yourself a favor. Sleep separately. Sleep on your back so you won't keep your wife up, but we'll be able to get accurate readings.
Yeah. And as we talked about, dating as far back as your honeymoon, the romance is dead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Long dead.
Yeah. Got your kid.
But let's see. What was it that I bought on my honeymoon? Oh, yeah. It was like
garage door openers.
Laying in bed searching for a good door on garage door. Hey, look, I got the free Bluetooth speaker. I stand by that purchase. It was a solid purchase.
I rest my case. But, Steve, we needed to get to something that we teased last week. And in our infinite inability to stay on track and get anything done, we neglected to give an update. And it is another edition in the long, long line of Steve's Facebook Marketplace giveaways.
I think we need an intro for this. It comes up enough.
There's enough items that we have given away, you specifically, that we need some type of introduction that, you know, kind of segues us into you describing the crap you've somehow given away and gotten out of your domicile.
The craziest thing about this for me is that I'm still finding crap to give away because the majority of it has not been mine.
Yeah, this is why I feel like you may have gotten, this is what I may have done was unfair to you when I said the neighbors were eyeballing you with all the garbage. I have a feeling they may have had a track record from the previous owners that they thought, I can't believe this. I got another guy who's stacking garbage everywhere. So
I don't know, though. That's the thing. It's been, for the most part, it's been really well hidden. Because we've been here 3 years, and I just found this thing a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago.
But there's a lot to be said about when you're selling a house, right? People come up, and they say, hey, clean this up. I have a house in my parents' neighborhood that went up for sale. And this house, whenever I drive by it, it's the house with 6 cars in the driveway, parked in the lawn, junk everywhere.
Why do people do that? Why do people park their cars on the front lawn when you have... That's what your driveway is for.
Yeah.
I don't get that. There's this one house right next to... Take note, the garage door house, the one whose garage door has been open for 3 years. Like 2 houses down from them, there's a house there. They always have a car parked in their front lawn. And they have a regular... like. 2-car-wide driveway that is standard length. You could probably fit 6 cars in that driveway, and there's always a car parked on their front lawn. I don't get that.
I get, you know, people have project vehicles and whatever, and, you know, if you got a couple of
kids. I've had project vehicles before. I've never parked a car on my front lawn.
Nope, that's true. Even homes with, you know, 2 kids or 3 kids, and they're all driving type of thing, whatever.
Yeah.
there's room in that driveway or in front of the house.
Yeah. Plenty.
So that'll be that's on the poll as well this week. Are people who park in their yards dirt bags?
Yes.
That's the fairest way I could think to put it, Steve. I thought about it.
No other way to put that.
I even used, thesaurus, and dirt bag was what came up. So that's what goes.
So, a couple weeks ago, we were setting up, as we talked about last week, the Cricket Corner here, Crafting Corner down here.
Has it been used yet?
Yes.
Since it's been down here?
Yeah, okay. a couple times. And
Is the paper tray a new addition?
Paper tray, I'm happy you noticed that. The paper tray is a new
addition. I spend a lot of time looking at that corner from over here, so that is something I would notice.
The paper tray is new. That was brought to us by Amazon.
Oh, wow. So you're buying supplies for the supply corner.
Uh-huh.
Or for the supply desk. Wow.
See the rolls in the corner?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what that is? That's actually a plastic bag holder from Amazon as well.
Now, I am surprised you didn't build something yourself for that.
I thought about it, but then when we found it on Amazon for like $6, I was like, why would I spend 1 minute more?
But I could also see you just like collecting your next 10 toilet paper tubes and taping them and then putting the fabric over the top.
That's a fantastic idea.
That's a money saver right there.
Yeah, next time. Next time.
So, okay. So you were putting together and we mentioned this last week. What was in Cricket Corner was a bed.
Yeah, there was one of those trundle beds that was from Annette's old house. So I took that apart, and we have a staircase, obviously, to get down into the basement. But underneath the stairs, there's a long, narrow closet. So I took the bed all apart, and I was like, oh, perfect. We'll just tuck the bed right into that closet because the eventual plan is when Evelyn outgrows her crib, we move her into a different room. Assuming that there's another child, the child will then take over the room that Evelyn's in right now. So we're just kind of planning long term. So we got a bed for the future.
Which is weird for you, considering you'll be out of here in a year.
Yeah, most likely. Well, I'll forget about it. It'll end up in that closet forever.
Do you still find yourself looking, though? I mean, obviously you have no intention of moving. Do you have, like alerts for your phone or anything?
No. Okay. But I do find, like, if I'm driving around and I'm like, and because we actually, last week, we had to go somewhere, and we came back, and it was like, drive through this neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I really like a lot of the houses in there, and we drove through. And these are like $850,000 homes, like just beautiful on a lake. I mean, like you see people water skiing and everything.
Man, okay, so I think I know where you were.
Yeah.
Then based on that description.
So, but I mean, beautiful homes, but sure. Yeah, we drive through, we're like, well, that's something. Okay, keep driving.
Yeah, that's a never.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It, more so just for like, maybe like a design idea, you'd be like, oh, I like the color of that, or those, whatever, that it's the stone that they have on the front of that house, that looks really nice.
Sure.
So more just for thinking down the line, like, oh, if we do, if we paint the house one day, maybe we'll paint it this color or something. So we drove through that neighborhood. Beautiful. So, yeah, we going back to taking everything apart, taking the bed apart, tucking it in the closet. Well, we had nothing in this closet. There were, like, a couple of boxes of APS stuff, actually. They were the only things that were tucked inside.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was
anything good? Or?
The black curtain that was hanging up in the back.
Oh, yeah.
All of the little, like, tchotchke things, like my mug from the Cheers bar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a nice
I think a Cliffy bobblehead was in there.
Take care of that. Like, that thing is signed.
Yeah.
That was a chunk of change for me.
The sign that we had on the door that said the Steve and Kyle podcast, I had forgotten all about that. So that was in there. Just a couple other things.
Okay.
So I just cleared everything out, swept it out. There was an old bookcase in there, which I had thought was attached to the wall. Turns out it wasn't, because when I was sweeping it, I bumped against it and it kind of rattled a little bit. So I pulled it out so I could sweep behind it. And then I found this thing. I still don't know what it is. It was like two pieces of curvy metal with like other pieces that connect the two curvy pieces.
Well,
it was gold.
I think you're struggling. Why don't you just read the headline of what you posted it as on Facebook Marketplace because pretty accurate.
Yeah, did you? Because you, of course, you were the first person that I sent this to.
Yeah, and yeah, I was a bit delayed in getting the answer from you. I was down in Louisville drinking bourbon,
right?
Looking down on you. So it took a day or so here. Where is it?
I right got it. There. Don't worry. Okay. Yeah, I got it pulled up right here.
Yep.
It was yeah, I listed it, so I was like, well, I don't know what this is. Put it up on Facebook Marketplace. Title: Curvy Gold Thing.
Free.
And then if you look at the description,
yeah,
I said, I don't know what this is. Message me for address. Free.
And you put tags on it for thing, gold, curvy. So if anybody happened to search Marketplace for thing,
right,
you'd come up.
Yeah, it's going to show up.
You don't want to miss that big market.
No.
Of people who are searching Marketplace for thing.
Well, there also could be somebody searching Marketplace for curvy. You know something? It's going to show up there too.
I don't even know how to describe what I'm looking at. I'm guessing it's about 48 inches tall.
Yeah, roughly.
By, I don't know.
That's 50. Probably 3 feet by 3 feet, I
okay.
think. Okay. The only thing I can think is that it's something for like curtains.
Yeah.
Or like to hang a blanket on or something.
Yeah, it's got hooks on the sides and weird beams going up and down to one bent. I mean,
yeah.
Listen, that thing's a piece of crap is yeah. what it is. Okay? Yeah. It's a literal piece of crap.
Yeah.
And you throw it on Marketplace. Now, I do not have an update. This has been a week and a half that you put it on, a little over a week.
Yeah.
So, Steve, what is the status of Curvy Gold Thing Free?
Well, you know Curvy Gold Thing found a new home.
Oh, for God's sake.
This was a high traffic marketplace day for me. Four different pickups this day. Curvy Gold Thing was picked up. More of our plastic lawn edging was picked up because I had done
some left of that, huh?
I had done half of the project a couple weeks ago, and then I finished the other half of the project that morning. So the lawn edging was gone, and then the bed that was over here had two. Because remember, it was the trundle bed with like the pull out mattress on the bottom,
mm-hmm.
twin size. It had two of the least comfortable twin size mattresses ever. So we thought, okay, eventually this is going to be Evelyn's bed, but it was like sleeping on a board if you were to sleep on it. So We got a couple years. Maybe we'll work in getting her a new mattress in the before then. So the two mattresses, gone.
Somebody took those.
Two people paid money for those.
Oh my God, because notoriously, mattresses are nearly impossible to get rid of.
Yeah.
People half the time are posting, how can I get rid of these? Mm-hmm. Without having to pay my trash company, and
yeah.
nobody accepts them because the thrift stores, the Goodwills and whatever, yeah, they don't take them.
They don't want the risk of like bed bugs or anything like
Yet
that.
Yet you sold
two of them.
Two of them.
Because originally I posted both of them
mm-hmm.
for sale together,
for one
thinking
price,
somebody okay. would just take it away. And a woman messaged me right away and she said, I just need one of them. Will you separate? And I'm like, yeah, what the hell? I mean, it's one less that I have to deal with.
Not time for me to get picky now.
No. So I sold it to her for $30 and she Venmo'd me the money.
20 too much.
Yeah. She Venmo'd me the money. I waited out front. She pulled up. I was like, stay in your car. No problem.
She loaded it up.
She opened the back. I loaded it in and I said, see ya.
Now that is unlike you. Because as we know, the man who was cutting your shed in half for 6 hours, you watched.
Yeah.
As we know, Wreck,
uh-huh.
who was loading up vinyl fencing on his Buick, you watched.
Yeah. Now, and about 2 hours later, somebody messaged me about the other one. They showed up. I had it waiting. They Venmo'd me the money, too. Before they even got to the house, I had the money in my Venmo.
Man.
And guy pulled up, him and his wife. I had the mattress standing up right there out front of the house. And I handed it over to him. He's like, thanks. Threw it up on top of the car. He already had like a strap ready. Strapped it down. He was out of there in 2 minutes.
Man, I got to tell you, the more and more, I don't know what it is.
You're pretty impressed, right?
I'm very impressed. I mean, the only term I can think of is savant. You've somehow become a master at the art of unloading your crap.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how.
Consistently, too. You haven't had any failures that are, you know, that I can think of that would be noticeable. You gave away rotted plywood with nails.
Okay, I have a test. I have something that I want to get rid of. Mm-hmm. It was left over from the deck. It was just a 2x6 or a 2x8, probably 8 feet long, with a ton of rusty nails in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have that sitting on the side of the house right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we should do is, before you leave, you should take pictures of it. I should take pictures of it. We both post it with our own title, price, description, and see who gets rid of it first. It'll be the true...
All right. Because I'm going free.
Yeah, yeah. I would have gone free too.
Piece of lumber.
And then if somebody contacts you, you can give them the address.
Okay.
You can tell them, just pick it up. It's on the side of the house.
No knocking necessary.
Whatever you do, do not knock on the door.
Well, you won't be here anyway.
That's the thing. I don't like to tell people I'm not going to be here.
Oh,
then
right.
It's an open invitation for them to rob the house.
Right, of course. So there's people. It's a Home Alone-style party up in here.
Look.
Don't interrupt.
Someone who's showing up at my house to pick up rotted wood with rusty nails, I wouldn't put it past them that they're going to rob the house.
Well, and two, you don't want to see them or look at them.
No, garbage.
Talk to them.
Complete garbage.
Just total garbage people. So I'm guessing based on that, did you have any interaction with the individual who came and picked up curvy gold thing free?
No interaction whatsoever.
Outside of the message.
Nope. No interaction at all.
What was the time frame? Was this the only person who pursued the curvy gold thing
free? There were a couple messages. Probably three, I think.
What do you think the odds are that somebody, that the person who bought it is literally just hoping there's actual gold and that they can sell it?
The only thing I'm assuming is that the person that picked it up is a scrapper. Like they pick up scrap metal.
But you have to, if you see that picture, it's not worth the gas to drive
because
here to get it.
This thing was, I mean, you could pick it up with one finger. Like it was, I mean, it was light.
So the money that you could possibly get by scrap wouldn't be, I'm so fascinated
the
by
the juice
where,
isn't worth the squeeze, as they say.
I'm so fascinated by the people who seem to repurpose literal garbage at their own homes.
Yeah, there's a guy that has come here twice. When we first moved in, we got rid of the fridge that was here. Actually, three times. The fridge, the stove, and the dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
We replaced them over the course of like the first year of living here.
Yep.
And there's this one guy, he always posts on Marketplace.
Is his name Corey?
It is.
Yeah, he moved.
Oh, where'd he go?
No, there's no scrap guy here anymore.
Oh, no.
There is, just not as good as Corey.
Corey?
And the only reason I mentioned Corey's first name is because that man is the equivalent of scrapping as you are to giveaways on Facebook.
He's incredible. You message him, he's at your house within 5 minutes.
I have no idea where he lives or if he lives anywhere other than on the road.
And the shocking thing is, he's a normal-looking guy. Like, he doesn't have a peg leg. He's not blind. Nope. He doesn't have an eye patch. He's just a regular, like, mid-30s dude who shows up, and he scraps all your stuff.
He loaded up my old washer-dryer. I don't know if I had to help him.
How much do you think he makes off of that? Because it's got to be, like, it has to be worth it. And does he have to take it all apart?
No. I mean, you've done it, Steve. You would have a little more insight than more of us. On this front, you've brought some stuff to the scrapyard.
Right.
We famously told the story, what was it, 3 years ago, that you brought all of
on
this
my garage
stuff,
doors.
And it was like $16.
Oh, I wish. I think it was $8.
Was it?
Yeah.
But then you turned around a couple of weeks ago and brought, what was it there? And you got $10 to $15 out of it, right?
But I think, anytime I've been to the scrapyard, though, it's always been like, I have a scrap of steel.
Yeah.
With a stove or something, or with a refrigerator, like there's lots of other stuff in there.
Yeah,
you know, there's plastic and like,
I get
do
the
you
impression
just...
he doesn't, because when I forget what the first thing he took away was, and it may have been no, because I sold my washer dryer. I forget, it may have been a dishwasher. there was some type of hookup that they don't accept at the scrapyard without a fee.
Oh, okay.
So I paid him $5 or something like that.
Okay.
To pay to cover that fee. It may have been a refrigerator. I don't. But it's within seconds. I feel like he lives like an ambulance. Like he's just constantly roaming, waiting for a message to come through on his phone.
Yeah.
Saying scrap, and then he's just there.
Just imagine if I teamed up with Corey.
Oh my God, you guys would be millionaires.
So yeah, that was a big giveaway day, or a big sale day too. Like I said, four different people at my house in like a 12-hour span picking up stuff.
Do you feel like you're near or at the bottom of the scrap heap, the literal scrap heap of giveaway stuff in this house?
I would have thought that a year and a half ago.
But are there nooks and crannies that you haven't been able to look
into? I don't think so.
A lot of the literal garbage was under the deck that is now gone and rebuilt and all that stuff.
A lot of it was out behind the old shed, which is gone. Remember, I found like that old stationary exercise bike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think most of it's gone.
You moved into like, the house is so nice. You moved into a crappy house.
It was a bit of a hoarder's paradise.
Yeah, it was
here.
Like this constant, like, hey, we've got all this stuff. Ah, just tuck it under the deck. Oh, we've got all this stuff. Ah, throw it behind the shed. A stationary bike? Yeah, let's throw it behind the shed. Like, so weird.
Yeah. The weeds will cover it.
Yeah, forgetting the shed in general was already a piece of crap. Like, what a crazy way that this old family had lived.
Yeah.
Hey, son, come down here and help your old man lift the stationary bike out to the backyard.
Right. I mean, like, just put at least put it out at the curb with a sign on that says free.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to take it just for scrap.
Just an odd way to live.
I just remembered an interaction that I had that you're going to be extremely interested in that we need to get to.
Okay.
You may remember a couple of years ago. This is probably 2 years ago. I mean, I know that you're going to remember it because this is what introduced us to the birders. The preeminent birder in the county.
The preeminent birder in the county, not to be confused with the coward of the county.
Right. Now, do you remember how that whole interaction went down?
Now, that was something related to your back fence line. Was it tree related?
Yes.
It was tree related. He wanted to cut down some trees that were back there, right?
There's a line. It's very strange if you look at it. There's a line of like a perfectly straight line of six trees planted exact, like, you know, 4 feet apart, just in a line. Three of them are on my side of the fence. Three of them are on their side of the fence.
Okay.
I don't know what happened to them, but they're all dead. It looks like six straight telephone poles sticking up in a row. And honestly, I would have never really noticed them. The only time I see them is in the winter when all of the other leaves are off all of the other trees.
Yeah.
But I don't think anything of it. They're far enough from my house where if they fall, they're not going to hit my house, but they will hit his house. So a couple of years ago, a bearded man knocked on the door, introduced himself
as spouse of birder.
He said, I live directly behind you. I don't know how it came up that his wife was the preeminent birder in the county, but it did. And he said, I want to get some trees taken down, but I wanted to ask you first if you wanted to get yours taken down too, because they're all dead. And so if we do it at the same time, probably get a little bit better deal on it, split the cost, blah, blah, blah. So the conversation with me ended with me saying, sounds good. Like, get the estimate, let me know. And then he wrote down his name and phone number and gave it to me. And then he said, okay, well, yeah, just let me know. And I was like, well, that ended weird because you're the one that wants these taken down.
Yeah, did he misinterpret how that was supposed to go?
I had no idea. But I remember him saying, yeah, the last time we had to get some trees of this size taken down, it was about, each tree was about
$500.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, look, I want to be a good neighbor, but I'm not spending $1,500 to get trees taken down that aren't.
Yeah, not that.
They're not affecting me at all. Like, I don't want a I don't want a tree from my yard to fall on your house because then, you know, it's on me. But okay, so I just did nothing because I figured the onus was on him. Didn't think anything of it for 2 years. The other day, there's a knock at my door. I go out, and I instantly recognize him. I said, husband of Berter.
Berter husband, how are you?
And
just a very quick update. Preeminent Berter in the county hasn't been out in 6 days.
Oh.
And she saw one species in her home yard 6 days ago.
I wonder if it was actually our yard and they were looking at our bird hotel.
Oh, she's a hack.
She's a hack. This whole idea that she's a top birder in the county. She hasn't been out in 6 days. She saw one species in her backyard, probably when she was out for a smoke to go get the mail. What a joke. We talked about her, the rival couple. They were out the day after, the day after that, twice the day after that. They took, the day after that. They've been out every single day this week, Steve, seeing different species of bird. And this loser idiot is staring at your birdhouse from her yard and saying that she's a bird. I'm sorry. It's embarrassing. So husband of birder shows up on your porch.
Knocks on the door. I instantly recognize him. And so he says, now remember, 2 years ago, this was going to cost me like $1,500.
Yeah, $500 apiece.
$500 apiece for three trees.
I'd argue that's too much.
So he said to me, he said, hey, it was kind of like the, hey, do you remember me? Like we've had, I said, yeah, from in the back, birder husband. Yeah, I remember. Yeah,
wife staring at beaks.
He said, I just want to let you know I'm going to get those trees taken down. And I said, oh, okay.
His, does he mean? Like his
Well,
tree?
He said, he said, I'm going to get the trees taken down in my yard. And I said, oh, okay. All right, great. And then he said, and they'll take down the three in your yard as well. And I said, okay. And he said, for $55 a piece.
Okay.
And I was like, $55, so $165 total.
Yeah.
For three dead trees to be taken out of my yard?
Yeah.
And he said, yeah. He said, I don't think you're going to get a better deal than that. And I was like,
oh, you don't think?
I said, no, I don't either. Because, we've had some, when we first moved in a couple of years ago, we had to get some dead stuff hauled out and everything. I was like, yeah. So, $165? And he said, yeah. I was like, where do I sign? What do I do? What do you need? Do you need to get into my yard? Do they need to get into my yard? Cool. Let's do it. So he just said, he's like, all right, let me get your phone number and I'll just call you when I know when they're going to be here. And I think that he said that they were just going to take down the section of fence in between our two yards so they wouldn't have to go through our yard. I said, yeah, just give me like 24 hours heads up if you can. And I'll, drop the dogs off at a dog sitter for the day so they don't bug you out there. And, tell me who to give $165 to.
Wow.
So I think I wore him down over these 2 years. Like every day he woke up and he stared at his phone. Today's going to be the day he calls.
And he obviously and then he'd look at his phone and he'd look out his backyard and he'd see that line of six trees and he would get angry.
Yeah.
Because birds don't live in dead trees.
Of course. Yeah.
Everyone knows that.
So,
wow. Do you think he was juicing you back in 2 years ago? Thought he could get the young kid for a few quick bucks?
Because what he said didn't really make sense to me. He said that, they said that it would just be a little bit more because they'd already have their equipment out here anyway. And I'm like, well, when you pay to get trees cut down, like you're not paying for the, because of the hassle it is for the equipment. Like that's a tough, like they got to climb trees and like cut or bring.
Absolutely.
Cause they're not going to bring a bucket truck into his backyard or anything. Cause we've walked around the block before. So I know what the front of it, like there's no way to get a huge truck back into his yard. And so I don't know, but I was like, yeah, man, let's do it. Let's I wanted to high five him. I mean, granted, I don't want to just spend $165, but if I know that I don't have to have these interactions again, that's kind of worth it.
I got to tell you, I think he was trying to rip you off.
You think so?
I do. I think.
Well, he had his opportunity.
You would be willing to foot the bill for the entire project. You and I have talked about this too.
So you think he was going to be like, yeah, it's $3,000, and I mean, half of them are yours, so yeah, you can just cut me the check, and then yeah, I'll pay.
I mean,
I don't know.
Because you
seems
and I
like have, a nice old man.
Yeah. You and I have
but
talked
he did
about
lie
this
about idea, the birder thing.
Yes, he did.
So, I
yeah,
mean,
he's a liar.
Yeah, he's already got one check mark in the lie column.
You and I have, I believe, talked about this, about getting quotes for trees and stuff being removed, and how tree removal quotes, I've never seen quotes vary so wildly.
Yeah.
So wildly from way too cheap to like, somebody are you say, insane?
Yeah. Somebody will say $55.
Yeah.
And then someone else will say $3,000.
And that's the only thing, is if he got the one quote, decided to walk that over to you.
Yeah.
Say, this is what it's going to cost. That's the only possibility of him not being a total scam artist.
So what I need to do is the day before these people come out to cut these trees down, I need to call my insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure my homeowners is paid in full, because he obviously hired like JoJo the Circus Idiot Tree Company.
Yeah, it's going to be a guy who is renting a chainsaw.
Or a guy that parks his truck in front of Birder's house.
Yeah.
Takes a long rope, ties it to the tree, runs it, you know, through the fence to his truck, ties it around the bumper.
Yeah.
And then just hops in and hits the gas.
Yeah. Reminiscent of
snaps it off.
Reminiscent of hillbilly teeth removal.
Right.
You know, yeah, but for a tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he's, so, you know, the bumper's going to rip off and he's mm-hmm. like, oh man, my dad's truck, I ruined it.
Yeah.
Cause everything, none of that stuff is his.
Right.
I can't wait. Now I need you.
So
to
this
be,
happening. It's going down.
I need you to be like a hawk through this situation.
Get oh, a, oh, you know me. Come on. You know me. I love knowing what's going on in the neighborhood.
Get a company.
I'm
going to
be
name.
Out there. I'm going to be standing out there with a, you know, my cup of my drink in my hand.
Yeah.
Gee, you going with a, is that a 12 horse chainsaw? Is that a Husqvarna?
You got to get that. Get a company name so maybe you can seek, like, make sure they're reputable even as they're doing it, just yeah, to see, like, you know, hey, are they known for being cheap or are they known for doing good work at affordable rates? Yeah. Okay, it's happening. Maybe this spurs a relationship with you and the fake
well,
look,
maybe when that fence is down, we'll just decide, you know, this is nice, let's just keep this down.
I'm sure
you, good fences make good neighbors, as they
seems
say.
Seems like you and those retired birders behind you are going to have a lot to talk about. Steve, we are running late. We have to get to something, though, because any excuse to play the intro music for Viewer Mail Time is a good reason.
Hey, folks, Viewer Mail Time again. Oh, here's one from Sally, age 14.
Oh, what's Sally sent?
Dear Pig.
Thank you once again, Sally. This showed up to the radio station earlier in the week. I purposely did not open it. It's a big box, specifically addressed to the Steve and Kyle podcast.
Yeah, okay. I think I know what this is, Steve.
What?
Is this the, this might be the stuff from, you know, the ad we ran.
Oh, the big hot ad. Okay.
Let me, open her up
open
here.
Open her up. That's a, yeah. What we got? Okay. Is it the
hey,
King of Staten Island stuff?
The King of Staten Island. All right.
Hey.
All right.
Look at that.
So this is a box in a box. Already
box in a box. I love it.
Wasteful packaging.
Yep. Very much. Very much so. I need some help with that.
I can't wait because we have been waiting on this check for a while.
Oh, yeah. See how much? I mean, I'm assuming that this, we're going to open it up and it's going to be like,
it's a novelty check.
In the, no, like in the bank heist movies where it's basically a briefcase filled with money.
Yeah, because
I mean, it's
we
got that
finally
shape.
Sold out and we're finally getting paid.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Not so much yet. Paperwork. Okay. Okay.
Maybe it's at the
Channel your inner King of Staten Island.
It's probably at the bottom.
Yeah, probably.
They don't want, you know, burglars to see it.
All right, so we got a, looks like
a really nice, I forget, like a steel
Like yeah, a thermos.
Yeah, thermos. Look at that.
FDNY. That looks nice. Is there something in there?
Paper in there describing the thermos.
It does thermos things.
It'll be on eBay in an hour.
All right. Let's see what this is. Free hand ink. Your own personal masterpiece. I don't know what this is.
Really trying to find
Looks like it's like temporary tattoos.
Okay, well, we're not sick, so we'll find another use for those.
I'm assuming that's in honor of Pete Davidson, who has many, many tattoos.
I got to tell you, Steve, if you want to keep looking for the...
cash?
The cash.
Okay. Is that it? It must be in here. In this envelope.
Large paper payment there. Hey, look at this, though, huh?
What's that?
Nice hooded sweatshirt?
Oh, boy. That looks massive. Oh, this is cool. Look at that. The King of Staten Island.
Money?
Looks like some original artwork. Okay. That'll go up in APS 4.0 in 2020 never.
There's a lot of the, like, you'd put in an Easter basket?
Yeah.
Like, oh, unnecessary. That
fuzzy, papery. Yeah. Okay, so the money must be under...
Well, here's our Blu-ray copy.
Okay.
Of the movie.
All right.
There's a card, I think. Nope, more ink.
Or fake ink. Cash?
What's this? Hey, a hat!
Wait a minute, you mean there's two of us and they only sent one DVD?
There's a hat! FDNY.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, more temporary tattoos. Oh, this is nice. It's a temporary tattoo of a cat's butthole.
Okay, I guess I haven't seen the movie. Don't know if they're interested.
That's the poster. All right.
Oh, no, they forgot.
So.
Hey folks, viewer mail time again. Oh, here's one from Sally, age 14. Dear Pig.
Is blank check? Written on there, they're going to wire us the money? Or?
Oh, boy. They did send paperwork that tells you about the benefits of a temporary tattoo. Would you like to hear them?
No.
Looks like a permanent tattoo. Lasts way longer than a temporary tattoo. Commit only for a short time. Effortless and painless. No age restrictions.
You have to...
Oh, good. So they're basically telling us that we should put tattoos on our children.
I got some email about the missing payment.
The lack of cash.
And somehow the Steve and Kyle podcast stays in the red. Steve.
Oh, my apologies. My apologies.
It's time for...
Kenny Rogers.
Fact of the week.
You've got to know when to hold up. Fact of the week.
Know when to fold them.
Steve, it's time for that lovely period every week here where we give you a Kenny Rogers fact as long as he is, you know, as long as the lamestream media is, you know, proposing the idea that he's actually gone, we're going to keep the spirit of Kenny Rogers alive.
Of course.
This week, it might seem like a simple fact on its surface, Steve, but it shouldn't be any surprise that Kenny Rogers has been inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame.
I believe the award is named after him.
So maybe somebody has a good reason why the legendary crooner Kenny Rogers was inducted in the Country Music Hall of Fame in 2013.
Seems a bit late.
Unacceptably late. Mm-hmm. When was, and again, I refuse to defame the memory and spirit of the memory of the last time we saw him, mm-hmm. of Kenny Rogers. I would argue his last hit was probably closer to when he started his career than 2013, right?
I would assume so, probably sometime in the 70s.
He said that his two elder sons, so not those goofy-looking twins, I don't think. A couple of mongrels, man. thought he had been inducted already and didn't know that he wasn't.
Huh.
So when he was finally announced and he's talking to reporters, he broke down in tears because he was so happy to finally be inducted.
That's a beautiful, beautiful story.
That's simply an oversight, right? Like they got to 2012 or 2013, like, oh my God. I can't believe we haven't brought.
Yeah. Meanwhile, like Florida Georgia Line or
yeah,
in there or
yeah. You've got an 18-year-old kid who has one hit getting inducted into the Grand Ole Opry, mm-hmm. and Kenny Rogers in his 70s hadn't been inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame. It should have been named after him. Ugh. You bunch of heathens.
That is disappointing.
That was the
Kenny Rogers
fact of the week.
You've got to know when to hold up. Fact of the week.
Know when to fold them.
Oh, Kenny. Kenny, Kenny, Kenny.
Mm.
Miss that man, but I don't because he's...
Oh, we miss seeing him because he's in hiding.
Yeah, he's been tucked away because of coronavirus. Doesn't want to get sick, of course.
You can't blame him, you know?
Not one bit.
Safety first, Steve.
So we got a bunch of web polls up on Twitter at Steve and Kyle. Unfortunately, not Facebook.
Yeah, and a bunch of crap in a box.
Lack of money. We need to figure out... details next week on how you can win the Blu-ray copy. All kidding aside, you know, thank you very much to the King of Staten Island for
we're joking
for giving these
we knew there was no money.
Well, I mean, we hoped that there would still be money.
You always hope.
It's like when you get a birthday card and you're in your mid-30s and you open it up, you're like, maybe. I mean, I'm not expecting anything, but maybe there's gonna be like a 20 tucked in here. There was no 20 tucked in the box, but that's all right.
No, not this time.
But yeah, details. We'll give you details next week. We'll do it on social media, too.
Yeah, we have to get into our acceptance videos for when we inevitably win at the Podcast Awards.
We do have to do that.
That's 1 month.
Coming up soon. Coming up very soon.
Details on a live stream that you can watch along with us or watch us watch it. So a lot to get to next week. More stuff that we didn't get to this week.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we really got to anything that we were supposed to get
Nothing.
To.
Nothing.
No. All right, so I'm just going to delete all of that stuff because it's going to be way outdated.
Fast Five coming next week.
Talk to you next week.